This is our second annual Jump Sunday. On my very first Sunday at this church on November 2nd, 2014, I shared with you, those of you that were here that Sunday, I shared with you that I have a somewhat strange addiction. A year later, at our very first Jump Sunday, I preached the exact same sermon that I did on my first Sunday, sharing with you again my addiction. And this is Jump Sunday, so you're hearing it a third time. And some people go, well, why do we need to hear the same thing three times? Because repetition is important. Because repetition is important. Because repetition is important. In fact, it would make my heart smile that as a church, the sermon I'm about to preach, every one of you would be able to preach. And if people were to go, okay, what's Community Covenant Church all about? You'd be able to go, well, let me tell you about our pastor's addiction. I have a strange addiction to nature shows. Here's the thing with my nature show addiction, though. I never or rarely will go looking for a nature show. I won't look at the TV guide finding out when a nature show is on so I could plan my schedule around said show. My nature show watching is almost always the result of channel surfing. I can't stand commercials. And so I might be watching TV and the commercial comes on and it's automatic. Grab the remote. A moose. And I'll be stuck there. I'll be stuck there because I got to find out what happens to the moose or what I can learn about a moose. And I'll just be frozen there. And anyone that thinks I'm exaggerating, all you have to do is ask my family. And they will tell you, no, it's sadly true. You know, this happens to my dad. In fact, a handful of years ago, watching TV, commercials come on you. A duck. There was a duck, not the Aflac duck. There was like nature show duck, and it was a female duck. Because you can tell by the colorization, it's different from the male and the female. And this was a female duck, and this particular duck, she flew up into a tree, not like into a tree, because you don't see that in nature shows. There was a hole in the tree, like 30 feet up in the air. There's a hole in this tree, and this female duck flies into the tree, and I don't know how the nature shows do it, where they have the little cameras. In places, I don't know how they do that, you know, but there were these cameras in the tree that was, you know, the hole 30 feet up, and this mama duck laid eggs because that's one of the things that mama ducks do, and it laid the eggs, and then after a while, the eggs start going, moving, and then there's these little cracks in the eggs, and out of these eggs come these little ducks, and these little baby ducks. And here's the thing. I'm a man. And, you know, football and barbecue. But they're abundantly cute, you know? And if you don't find ducklings cute, you have no soul. And I'm just here to tell you that right now. And so these little baby ducks, they get out and they kind of, I'm like, look at the baby ducks. And then a day later, the mama duck goes to the edge of the hole 30 feet up, and she jumps, and she goes, whoosh, whoosh. She doesn't actually say, whoosh, whoosh. I'm just trying to give an audio to the visual, you know, and so she does this and glides very gracefully down to the forest floor, and she gets down there and lands, and then kind of does this adorable little waddle thing, you know, and turns around and looks up to the hole in the tree and says, quackity quack. I don't speak duck, but I think I've figured out what quackity quack means. Quackity quack means come to the edge and jump. Because she says it a second time, she goes quackity quack, and one of these adorable little ducklings comes to the edge, looks down, again, about 30 feet, if not more, looks down. Mom does some encouraging, because any parent in the room knows when you call your kids downstairs, how many times does it work when you just say it once? You know, so she's having to repeat herself, you know, hey, quackity quack, it's time to jump. And so little guy gets up there and jumps. Have you ever seen a baby duck fly? No, you haven't, because they can't. And this little guy jumps and goes, you know, with the most, you know, they're apparently just for show because they don't work, you know, and he's doing this and he drops like a rock, and I'm not kidding, bounces, hits the ground and bounces and goes, and then just waddles over to mom. And I'm like, whoa. And then she does it again. She goes quackity quack. And then like two more come to the edge. Jump. Pathetically flap, hit the ground, both bounce, both go, and get with mom. One by one, every one of the baby ducks jumps out of a tree, hits the ground, bounces, and then they start to follow mom because she wants to take them to the pond. Here's the thing. The pond is a mile away, and these little baby ducks just follow mom for a mile through the forest, over logs, under logs, just keep following. And then they get to the pond and they get in and they start splashing and playing and being all a baby duck can be, I suppose. And I'm sitting there in my living room, I was going, and then it hits me. I'm a baby duck. And I got news for you. You're a baby duck, which makes Jesus the mama duck. And don't take the analogy too far because it gets into really weird theological places. But Jesus is the mama duck because Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree and mine and says, essentially, quackity quack. Jesus stands at the bottom of your life, looks up to you and says, jump. There's this moment at the very beginning of the Gospels where Jesus goes to a lake. There's four guys. They're fishermen, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They're fishermen, and Jesus goes up to them, and he says something to them that's really, really important. But I want you to pay attention to what he does not say. Jesus did not go to these four guys and go, hey, I want you to drop your nets and come believe in me. It's not what he said. Now, don't get me wrong. It is important to come to a place where you believe that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he did willingly allow himself to go to a cross where he was crucified, and on the cross, he took on all the sin, all the pain, all the death, so that we could be free. And when he took all that on, we had the way to forgiveness, and when he died but overcame the grave, he showed that he could conquer death, and when we embrace that, we are conquerors of death as well. There comes a time and a place where we need to say, yes, I believe this. But that's not what Jesus said in that moment. In that moment, Jesus said, drop your nets, come, follow me. Essentially, Jesus looked at these four fishermen and said, quackity quack, jump, come follow me, and I will show you a life worth believing in. Come. Follow me. In the 10th chapter of John, there's this beautiful moment. Jesus says in the 10th chapter, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that in the Greek language, there are three different words that we translate as life. There is bio, where we get the word biology. It refers to physical life, you know, the muscles working, the heart pumping, the lungs expanding and contracting, bio, life. There's psyche, which refers to the mental, the thoughts, where we get psychiatry, psychology, those words, life. But then there's a third word, and that word is Zoe. And Zoe is referring to a life that is filled with hope and joy and purpose and peace. And when Jesus said, I have come to give you life, he says, I've come to give you Zoe. I've come to give you an abundance of hope and joy and purpose and peace. And we would think, wait a second, this sounds great. Who wouldn't want the Zoe? So when Jesus says, hey, quackity quack, come follow me. I want to show you Zoe. I've created you to live life in the pond. Come follow me so you can experience the pond and you can be everything I created you to be. We think, wait a second, this sounds great. Who wouldn't want an abundance of Zoe? Until you get to the edge, 30 feet up, and you look down, you go, huh. First duck jumps, totally trust mom. The ones that always intrigue me are ducks 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Because they got to the edge and they go, no. Are you kidding me? Did you see what happened to Billy? He bounced like a tennis ball. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mama Duck. The abundant life in the pond sounds wonderful, but that looks like it hurts. That looks painful. Remember the beginning of verse 10 in chapter 10 of John? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I began to wonder, what would have happened to those baby ducks if they would have looked down and gone, that looks painful. No way, I'm staying in the tree. What would have happened to those baby ducks? Here's what would have happened to them. They would have been safe. They would have been comfortable. And if the mama duck returned to the tree with food, they will have been well-fed. They would have been safe, comfortable, well-fed ducks. But they never would have learned how to fly. They never would have experienced what life in the pond was. And they never would have grown into the ducks they were created to be. Ultimately, what would have happened is those baby ducks would have died in their safe, comfortable, well-fed space. Unfortunately, what I've just described is not just the potential plight of those baby ducks. I've just described the plight of the North American church far too often. Far too often in the North American church, we have concluded that our job as the church is to be safe, comfortable, and just keep feeding me. Is it any wonder that when that becomes the highest priority of the church, that the influence that that kind of church has on the community and the kingdom of God is slowly dying? Just keep feeding me. I want to be safe and comfortable. Jesus says, quackity quack. Quackity quack. It's time to jump. It's time to leave your place of safety and comfort and come to where I am. And by the way, when we talk about this Zoe, we need to understand, Jesus never promises safety. He doesn't promise comfort. If anything, he promises the opposite. He says, hey, come follow me. And by the way, this is what following me will look like. I'm going to ask you to pick up your cross and come follow me. I'm going to ask you to lay down your life for the sake of the kingdom. In fact, I'm going to ask you to give up everything and come follow me. Jesus does not promise health and wealth. He does not promise comfort and safety. He promises abundance. He promises Zoe. He promises a life filled with hope and purpose. He promises forgiveness. He says, come, follow me. Let me show you what that looks like. The question is always, will we jump? I was 13 years old when I got ambushed by Jesus. I was reading, I was at a camp on Alliance Redwoods, and I was reading in Romans where it says, love each other with brotherly affection. In that moment, I heard Jesus. I don't know if it was an audible voice or if it's something I just heard in my mind or my heart, but I heard it as clear as you're hearing me right now. And I heard these words from Jesus when he said, Mike, I love you more than you love your brother, which isn't even what the verse is talking about. So I'm kind of encouraged that Jesus took his word out of context. But I heard it so abundantly clear that Jesus said in that moment, Mike, I love you more than you love your brother. Because if you would have asked 13-year-old Mike how I understood love, I would have said it very, very easily. Love means you don't leave. My mom left when I was 5. My dad and my brother, they did not leave me. And so If you'd have asked me as 13-year-old, Mike, who do you love most in this world? I'd have said very quickly, my dad and my brother. They didn't leave. And so in that moment, when I heard Jesus say, Mike, I love you more than you love them, I knew how much I loved them. And in that moment, I said, if that's true, I will follow you. I will follow you. Based upon your incredible love for me, I will follow you. If you've been around here at all, you know that one of my all-time favorite books, the book called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, in it, he asks this wonderful series of questions. He says, do you believe that the God of Jesus loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity, that he loves you in the morning sun and in the evening rain, that he loves you when your intellect denies it, your emotions refuse it, your whole being rejects it? Do you believe that God loves you without condition or regret, and that he loves you in this moment as you are and not how you should be? When I hear those words, every part of my being says, yes. And because you love me with that type of intensity and consistency, I jump. Now, I don't know where you're at this morning, but the question is always going to be, will you jump? Will you jump to follow Jesus? And by the way, this is not something you say once in your life and you're done. This is a daily decision to say, I will jump. I will follow. I will follow Jesus. It's a daily decision. I love it, the book of Joshua. Towards the very end of the book, Joshua is about ready to die, and this is what he asks. He tells the people, he says, choose this day whom you will follow. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My decision is, when I hear the quackity quack of God through the person of Jesus, I jump. I jump and I follow. Now, I must confess to you, there are plenty of moments where I think, the tree looks really nice. There are times that I confess that preference and comfort trumps obedience in my life. It happens. And I'll be walking, I'll be following Jesus, and I go, this is getting really hard. That looks really nice. I go, I think I'm gonna go try that again. If you know the story of the Exodus, you know that the people are in slavery. God sends Moses, and through God's mighty power, the people of God are delivered out of brutal slavery, and they are set free to head toward the promised land. It's remarkable. But soon as it gets a little difficult, the people start going, we want to go back to Egypt. And we read and go, what a bunch of numbskulls. Who would choose slavery over following the presence of God into the promised land? Who would do that? We think, what a bunch of idiots, until we see ourselves in the story and go, you know what? I'm following Jesus, but now it's difficult for me. Now it's not comfortable. Now it's not what I prefer. I think the tree looks really nice. I want to go back to Egypt. Jesus stands at the bottom of our lives and he says, quackity quack, come, jump, follow me. Let me show you what abundant Zoe is all about. Let me show you a life worth living. Let me show you what we can do together to bring glory to the name of my Father. Quackity quack, will you jump? I don't know where you're at this morning. Some of you, the idea of jumping to follow Jesus, if you said yes today, it'd be the very first time you've ever said that. So maybe today is the day you go, I'm a baby duck, and there's Jesus when he says quackity quack. It's time for me to jump, because I realize that the only way to the pond is through him. Or maybe you're one of those people who says, you know what? I've been a spectator for far too long. I'm one of those people who, oh, I believe, but I've been sitting on the sideline just watching everything instead of going, I'm going to be an active, humble follower. Or maybe you're one of those people that over the years, there was a time that you were waddling after Jesus, but lately you've crawled back up into your tree, and comfort and safety and preference has become a higher priority. I don't know where you're at this morning, but the question is the same for all of us. Will you jump? Would you close your eyes, please? right where you're at, answer the question, will you jump? And like I said, jumping looks different for you than it does probably for the person next to you. But you're not here to answer for the person next to you. You're here to answer for you. Will you jump? When Jesus cries out with great love, quackity quack, will you jump and say, I will follow? Take a moment and just answer Jesus, because he's the one that's asking, not me. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers, but more importantly, thank you for asking. Thank you for calling us, knowing everything about us. And yet you continue to call out with great love, come, follow me. I want to show you the pond. God, give us all the courage and the humility to jump. Amen.